and Wetzel. Yahoo Sports is constantly busy covering college football, but many other things, including perhaps LeBron and last night's his comments about China and the NBA and Daryl Morey. Dan, thank you, man. How you been?
I've been good. How are you?
Doing great. David Smoak with you. Paul Catalina in studio as well. What are your thoughts, although the schedule gets tougher and tougher as it goes along, what Matt Rhule has done this year at Baylor?
Well, pretty awesome. Two years ago, I was covering a Cowboys game, and I drove down on Monday to talk to Matt. Basically, why did a guy with so many opportunities take – they were in a winless streak, and it was obviously going to be a bad season. What'd they end up, 1-2 wins?
1-11.
Yeah. And it was, you know, why take this job? You know, you could have held out for something different. And he – such a good coach, and he's like, you'll see. You know, he just had so much belief in Baylor and what it could be and what they'd be able to accomplish, no matter the fallout from the end of the Bryles, the error, or any sanctions or anything. And boom, here you go. You know, is it going to hold up? Probably not, but who cares? It's one of those fun deals in college football. Not every team. Needs to be judged on can you make the playoff or can you win the national championship. Sometimes just have great seasons, and Baylor is having a great season and just shows what a special coach they have, that they've been able to rebound that quickly, and about the kids that bought into the school and what the school represents, that no matter how down it got and how bleak it got there at Baylor for a little bit, the institution just powered through it, and here you go. Back. Maybe you're not going to end up, you know, fifth in the final playoff ranking, but we'll see. Can't rule it out yet. Ain't lost yet.
Do you think it's also equally surprising that not only did he rebound pretty quickly, but their whole system is different? They didn't bring in another spread guy. His philosophy, everything is different than it was before.
Yeah. I mean, that's part of it. Yeah. It's not like, well, we got all these players that fit this system and let's just keep it going or anything like that. No, this is an overhaul. It was a complete redo. And here it is. I don't want to say that other teams, the Bryles teams weren't gritty or tough, but certainly the way Matt Rhule's teams play maybe are more reliant on that than finesse or anything like that. And it's there. And, you know, it fits. I mean, there's a lot of good, tough football players in Texas that are looking for exactly what Baylor offers. So it's a pretty amazing fit, and it's been one of the best stories of college football this year.
Dan, he signs the extension. We know that people are not going to stop knocking on his door or calling his agent or calling Matt. There's a lot of people that will want him, especially with the success. Heck, they called him after 1-11. They're going to call him now. But with Mac Rhodes and what he's established, he also has extended. The president has extended. Wasn't this something Baylor had to almost hit the trifecta with the coach, the AD, and the president?
Yeah, probably. I don't know much about the president. I do know Mac for a long time, and is such a highly respected guy, particularly in the state of Texas. He was out at UTEP for a while. Knows the state and the terrain. And I think that's a great marriage. And if there's anything that keeps Matt Rhule there, it's having an athletic director that he trusts. I don't know their relationship, but I'm assuming it's really good. But obviously, Matt's, they have hit the trifecta. They've attracted great people. And again, that's a little bit to the power of the institution. You know, I always say, like, you know, schools get in trouble for whatever reason, okay, and you have sanctions, and, okay, we're going to have some down years or huge scandals. If the school is powerful enough, it fights through those. You think of what happened at Penn State, right? Like, that was an awful situation at the end of the Joe Paterno, you know, Jerry Sandusky, you have these incredibly crippling sanctions. Bill O'Brien still wants the job, and he takes the job before they get the sanctions, but it's still uncertain. And, yeah, they had a couple years, like maybe 7-8 wins, and then, boom, here they are back because the school has the power. And so sanctions and scandal and stuff can be pushed by because there's another generation of either leaders and coaches that want to work there, and then parents that want to send their kids there, and kids that want to play there because it's a great spot. So I think it speaks a lot to Baylor. But look, Matt, will he be there forever? I don't know. The NFL is going to keep calling. You have no idea how this rolls out. Could USC try to get him? Or is no, you know, they always hear about Notre Dame and him, or Penn State if James Franklin goes to USC or something. There's going to be some heavy hitters trying to get at Matt Rhule, and you know that's just sort of the that's just the cost of doing business of having a great coach. Baylor is a great place to be, and maybe he stays forever, but if he leaves, well, you got an awful lot out of him. He certainly calmed the program and weathered a big-time storm for everybody.
Dan, you wrote a column about LeBron James today and his comments, and I think it's kind of not maybe across the board, but pretty the majority is. Here's a guy who has never been afraid to take a stance on anything. In fact, many people, myself included, think that's one of his best qualities, and he completely betrayed that in his comments about Daryl Morey yesterday. What is? Do you feel this is completely financially motivated on his part?
I don't know. Probably part of it. I mean, he certainly has got a lot of business to do, not just selling sneakers or being part of the NBA, but like, you know, Space Jam 2 and these movies, and he's got a lot of companies that you need that you need all of that. So there's part of that. I think there's also an element with LeBron. And this is something I actually compliment him on often, but LeBron's been a star since he's about 14. He's a child star. A child star has never gotten in trouble. Like most of these people who are that famous that young, you know, we've seen every train wreck, you know, drug addicts and all the different problems that often hit them. LeBron's never had that. I always thought that was very impressive about him, particularly since he grew up in a poor single mom and all of that. But I think there's a sense of like stardom and detachment from reality and that encompasses him, that it's like, well, if I'm bothered by something, then it's important. And if I'm not bothered by something, it's not important. There's just sort of that kind of pampered rock star bit that I think it's hard to avoid when you've been basically the king. Since you're 14, right? You're the king. King gets to say what's going on. Here's LeBron. So I don't know whether it's just that or it's the financial, but whatever it is, I just found the comments very disappointing. He could have taken the route of the other guys and just said, hey, look, I don't know that much about China. I don't want to get involved in other countries. I don't mind talking about my communities. This isn't my fight. I don't really love that, but that's what that's how it's working. Donald Trump has not called out China on Hong Kong. He won't comment on Hong Kong. The United States of America no longer promotes democracy around the world. So if we don't care that Donald Trump is doing it, then why do we care about random NBA basketball or even star NBA basketball players? So I don't think it's his job. My problem was him basically telling Morey, shut up and dribble, which he has rightfully fought against. Like, I have no problem with anybody speaking their mind on any opinion. Is there fallout? Of course. So if you hear people talk about stuff, maybe you like them more, maybe you like them less. A lot of people say, oh, I don't like that guy anymore. He's talking about this issue, which I'm opposed to. Or I like him more because he's talking about an issue I do agree with. So, but I encourage anybody to speak out. And to sit there and just basically say Daryl Morey shouldn't have said anything, or he's uneducated, or he doesn't know what he's talking about, or it's all wrong, it inconveniences people. That's the exact criticism that LeBron gets hit with that I think is the wrong criticism. I think LeBron should speak out. I think Daryl Morey should speak out. I don't think anyone should tell him, don't talk. And that's basically what LeBron's doing. The guy who loves to talk is telling another guy, don't talk, because now it's bothering me. Well, I don't think that's how it should work.
Yeah, it almost seems like, and I mentioned this, the columns that are written, whatever I may listen compared to what you do nationally, but you make a comment – and it's like it's still there's party lines on everything. Everything's red states and blue states. Or, yeah, you can say I have a right to an opinion, but you don't. And if I disagree with you, you're dirt.
Oh, it's
you
horrible.
Know? It really is, Dan. It's
the country's gotten ridiculous, and it's everything's tribal, and it's everybody's a hypocrite, and it's like how about my favorite is people go, well, I'm politically incorrect. And then someone says something they disagree with, and I'm completely offended, right? And you go, if you're politically incorrect, you don't get offended by anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nothing anyone can really say is going to bother me. I don't care. Like, okay, I find it more interesting. Like, whatever LeBron had to say, if he just sat there and come out and said, you know what, I actually think this law
that the protesters in Hong Kong are fighting actually isn't quite what they think. It's not going to be as restrictive to their civil liberties as they think. And I actually side with the China. Okay, now I don't know whether that's right or wrong, but that'd be interesting. I'd be like, okay, you know, and let the chips fall where they may. Just sitting there saying, oh, everybody shut up, you know, or you shut up, or yeah, and everything's just take your corners. It's the country's so divided right now. It's just awful, and everything's so mean. It's put downs and insults and, you know, anger, and it's just like, you know, I don't know that I criticize LeBron, but I'm not going to call him all sorts of names about it. I just think he had the wrong opinion on this because this is the exact stuff they tell him to shut up on. But, you know, look, let me tell you something about the NBA. They need next Tuesday to show up and get the action back on the court because in 1 week, Zion Williams is going to have like 23 dunks in a game, and everyone's going to forget about all this.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, man, thanks for jumping on, Dan. Appreciate your time as always.
Anytime. Take care, guys.
Dan Wetzel, Yahoo Sports.